Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 9 lines from the top of Daf Yud. We continue with the topic that we were discussing in our previous shiur, namely Sukkah Tachas Sukkah. We have learned that a sukkah underneath another sukkah, the bottom sukkah, is not acceptable, is considered unkosher. On the sign of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, where a triangle is featured, as it will appear in the Gemara. Three triangles. They represent Gimel Shita's three opinions, B'shi'ur, Shebein Sukkah L'Sukkah, Kedei Shiyeh Posel. What is the gap between the upper and the lower Schach that makes it such that it is Posel? If we look in the Rashi as a lead into the Gemara, the last narrow line, the Kamo Yehe Hefsik Bein Schach L'Schach, what is the gap between the Schach layers, the Schach coverings, the Tifsol Tachtoinu Mishum Sukkah Tachas Sukkah, based on which we would then render the lower Sukkah as unfit, the low Neymar, and not be able to say Chad Sukkah Hu, that the different layers of schach are really one schach covering. So if there is a gap between layers of schach that are covering a sukkah, if the gap is sufficiently large, then we would say that the bottom sukkah is considered a sukkah tachas sukkah. Here, you have to be careful not to fall into the translation trap, because when we speak about a sukkah under a sukkah, it doesn't mean that the upper section is a real sukkah. But technically speaking, it would be schach under schach. The word sukkah, as we've pointed out in the past, and you can see, we'll see a Rashi along the way in one of our upcoming shiurim, that sukkah really means schach. So what we're dealing with is a sukkah that has an extra layer of schach above where you are sitting. If there is a sufficient gap between the schach that's immediately covering you and that upper layer, then your sukkah can be rendered unfit. And that's what we are discussing when we discuss the sukkah tachas sukkah. So that having been said, we turn to the Gemara. Kamo yehe bein sukkah l'sukkah v'tei tachtona psula. The Rashi we already saw. What is the gap between the two layers of schach, the schach that is covering where you are sitting, your sukkah, and that which is above it, which would render your sukkah where you're sitting to be unfit? Amar Rav Huna, tefach, a gap of a handbreadth, an airspace, a gap, of one handbreadth between the layers would render your sukkah unfit. Shekein motzinu ba'ohale tuma tefach. There is a precedent that the concept of ohel, literally an ohel is a tent, but for our purposes it's a reference to a space which has ramifications in the realm of tumas ohel, is measured in tefach terms. So we continue in the Gemara, but we also take a look at the Pirush Chai, the book of illustrations that we've been using throughout the Masechta, illustration 162. And what we see in this, if we look at this illustration carefully, so you have, on the one hand, you can see what appears to be a table with something, with items under the table, and there's a caption and there's a key to this particular picture. So the aleph that you see is a korah aruka ruchofa tefach. It's a board that is long and it has a width of one handbreadth. And the base is a kezayis min hames. It's an aleph quantity of corpse matter. And gimel, you see, it reads as follows: Im ha korah gavoa tefach, if the korah, this beam, is a tefach high, hakli tomei, the vessel mark gimel will become defiled because of the mace material, the corpse material, bays. What happens is that the tumah has the ability to rise and then is caught, so to speak, like if you would imagine smoke that is caught under a ceiling, what happens is it then disperses. So on a spiritual level, the tumah rises because it has a tefach gap, a tefach space in which to rise, and then it fills the area underneath, and I emphasize underneath the board, and then affects, defiles the vessel. The imlo, if the caption continues reading, and if the korah is not a tefach above the ground, where you don't have an airspace of a tefach, hakli tohor, the kli will remain, that kli mark gimel will remain tohor. Now, dalid, notice, is another vessel on top of the board. Im ha-kora gevoa tefach, ha-kli tohor, if the board is, as we said before, was a tefach above the ground, creating an airspace of a tefach, so the kli marked dalid, which is above the board, will remain pure, will remain undefiled. The im loy, if the kora, if the board, is not a tefach above the ground, so that the board in effect is very close to the corpse material, then hakli tomei afilu adorakia. Anything above, directly above the corpse matter, marked bays in the diagram, will become defiled all the way up to heaven. Shetuma rutsutsa bokas v'oila. Tuma that is in a continuum, namely there's no gap of a tefach, the tumah penetrates the board and then rises, affecting everything directly above it. So what the point of this discussion is to show that the gap of a tefach has significance, creating a type of domain or unit of space of significance with regard to tumah, and Rav Huna applies that to a gap of significance with regard to the schach as well, thereby causing the lower level of schach under which I am sitting in my sukkah to become unfit because of an additional layer of schach that is a tefach above. If the second level of schach, the higher level of schach, were within a tefach, then would then be considered a continuum of the schach that's covering me, one layer, one thick layer of schach. So now let us look into the Gemara. Desnan, tefach, al tefach, berum tefach. If you have a board measuring a tefach by a tefach, and there is a gap, an airspace of a tefach, it has a height of a tefach over off the ground, maybe es hatuma, it can convey tuma from the corpse matter to that which is next to it, because they're under the same board that has these minimum dimensions. The chotzeitz mifnei tumah means it will block any tumah, it will block the tumah from rising above it, as we saw in the illustration when we were looking at the vessel marked dalid in the illustration, with the board marked aleph having a gap of a tefach off the ground. The board served as a chotzeitz. It blocked the tumah from rising above because of the dimensions we mentioned. Avol pochos meirum tefach, if the height is less than a tefach, lo mevi, the tumah will not be conveyed sidewards. The lo chotzeitz, nor will the tumah be blocked. We should say, however, the tumah will not be blocked from rising above, so that if it's within a tefach, so the item to the side is not affected, but that which is above it now is affected. If there is a tefach gap, so that which is to the side will be affected, and that which is directly above will not be affected. We continue. V'Rav Chisto v'Rabba b'Rav Huna Amri, they both say regarding sukkah al gabi sukkah, they say arba'ah, four tvachim. Shelomotzinu mokum choshev pochos me arba'ah. Because in other areas of halacha, we do not find, lo motzinu, we do not find, mokom choshev, a a domain of significance less than four tfachim. Rashi explains on the fifth wide line under the Gemara, Shelo matzino mokom choshev lios rishus liatzmo, to be considered a domain unto itself, lo karmelis v'lo rishus hayochid. These are terms that you find in Hilchus Shabbos. A karmelis is a type of rabbinic domain and a private domain. These are non-existent pochos me'arba'o, if you're dealing with an area that is less than 4 by 4 handbreadths. The number of Sias Shabbos, as it is taught in the first parak of Shabbos. The Hochonami, so to hear in this case of the Sukkah, Agabi Sukkah, Lav Rishus Liatzmo He, it's not considered a separate domain, the Kri Sukkah Tachasukha, to be considered a Sukkah underneath a Sukkah. In other words, if the gap between the lower level of Schach that's covering me in my sukkah and that layer above it, if the gap is less than four tvachim, so the upper level is not significant enough to be called a sukkah tachas sukkah, the upper one being the point reflected in the phrase of tachas sukkah. It's not considered, my sukkah is not considered under a sukkah, because what am I under? I'm under a layer of schach that's within four tvachim of my schach. Hence it would be not significant, it would be kosher. But if the gap between the two layers of schach is four tvachim, then my sukkah in which I'm sitting is rendered unfit. We continue. Shmuel Omar Asara. Shmuel says 10 tvachim, a gap of less than 10 tvachim between upper level of schach and lower level of schach, where namely the schach covering my sukkah where I'm sitting. If the gap is less than 10 tvachim, my sukkah remains kosher. Now this 10 tvachim shiur, my taima de Shmuel, what is the reasoning behind Shmuel? Answer, kehech shera kach psula. As a sukkah is made kosher, so too that same dimension can render another sukkah unfit. Mahech shera ba'asara, just like the minimum size of a singular sukkah is 10 tvachim, af psula ba'asara, so too the ability to render unfit a lower sukkah is such only if there is an upper layer of schach with a gap of 10 tvachim. We look in the Rashi, Kechshera Kach Psula, Mishum Shtei Sukos, Poslo Kra. The Pasuk that we learned in our previous year, the source concerning which we say Sukkah Tachas Sukkah is Posel, speaks about two Sukkahs. V'chi Lesle Bel Yoyna Hechshe Sukkah, when the upper layer doesn't have a gap under it of 10 Tvachim, Lav Sukkah Hi, V'lo Posla. Shmuel is taking a literal approach, which is different than the way we opened our shiur today. When we opened our shiur today, we mentioned sukkah tachas sukkah is a reference to really schach under schach. But Shmuel is taking it more literally, that it's when is a lower sukkah affected? When above it there is the minimum shiur, the minimum gap of an actual sukkah. And an actual sukkah is measured in terms of minimum 10 tvachim of height. We continue in the Gemara with a question. We'll see this is a long question. And from this question, we will then we'll be raising a question on Shmuel. Let's see how it unfolds. Tanan, Reb Yehuda Omer, Im Ein Diyurin Be'Elyoino HaTachtoino, K'sher, we saw this in the Mishnah, and when we read this in our Mishnah, we deliberately did not explain. We said we can't translate yet. Now, this is the time to start getting interested, if you will, or start getting precise. So Reb Yehuda says, Im ein diurin, if there are no diurim in the upper one, the lower sukkah is kosher. My ein diurin. What is meant by that phrase? In lemo diurin mamish. Now, you'll see the double underline is used, and on the side of the Gemara, the double underlines that you see down the next few lines are shlavim. These are stages, behesber shitas Reb Yehuda, stages in trying to explain Rebbe Yehuda, who said im ein diurin bel yoyna tachtonu kshera. What does Rebbe Yehuda mean? So we have to go through several stages of explanation. And we will encounter diamonds as we go along. These are kushos al shitas Shmuel. These will be questions on that which questions on Shmuel that we are challenging right now. Shmuel spoke about a gap of 10 tfachim as the shiur. Let's bear in mind that Shmuel is an Amora, and whatever he says, it's his hope that he is not counter to any Tanaic opinions. That's the optimal approach to a shita of an Amora. So bearing that in mind, we have a quote from the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda says, if there are no diurim in the upper one, the lower one is kosher. What does that mean? So we continue, e lema diurin mamish, meaning if there are no human beings in the upper one, no actual dwellers. So we said, if there are no actual dwellers, so the lower sukkah will be kosher. Well, that's not reasonable. Otu diurin kogarmi. Is it people that causes something to be unkosher? Even without people, the lower sukkah would still be classified as a sukkah, tachas sukkah. So it's not the presence of people that makes the difference. El olav, my ein diurin. What must the expression mean in ein diurin? Kol she'eino ru'uya ledira. Any sukkah where the upper one is not fit for dwelling. The hechidomi, what would be an example of not fit for dwelling? Deloi gavoa asora. Where the Rebbe Yehuda is saying, if the upper one is less than 10 tvachim, so the lower sukkah is kosher. So we're focusing right now on the measurement less than 10 tvachim. Michlal, this would then lead us to infer. The first opinion of the Mishnah disagrees with Rebbe Yehuda. Otherwise, if he didn't disagree, they wouldn't be both in the same Mishnah. So the Tanakama who disagrees with Rebbe Yehuda would then hold Afalpi She'eino Ru'uya Ladira Psula. Even if the upper one is not fit for dwelling. And how did we explain not fit for dwelling? Namely, less than 10 tefachim. Even if the upper one is less, if the gap between the two layers of Tzchach is less than 10 tefachim, according to the Tanakama, the bottom one would still be puzzle. Now that's a problem for Shmuel, because Shmuel as an Amora was saying, and he was certainly a commentary of the Tanakama, he was explaining the Rabbanan Shita of Sukkah Tachas Sukkah as being puzzle, when he said only if there is a gap of 10 tefachim. We're inferring right now that the Tanakama would be saying even if the gap is less than 10 tefachim, the lower Sukkah would be puzzle. Kashon Shmuel. We continue, stage 2. Ki also Ravdimi Omar. Amri b'ma'arova. They explain in Eretz Yisrael, we look at illustration 155 in the Pirush Chai. This is on page 31, where you see two sukkahs, and the caption reads from the quote from the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, quote from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imein diurin b'elyona tachtona k'shera. So in looking at that kind of lower sukkah, you notice there are some branches that are covering the lower sukkah. And what do they say in Eretz Yisrael? Imein hatachtona yechoyla l'kabel korum uksosos shel elyona hatachtona k'shera. If the lower sukkah cannot hold the pillows and mattresses of the upper sukkah, someone wants to live in the upper sukkah. So if that, we'll call ceiling of lower sukkah, which is the floor of the upper sukkah, is incapable of supporting the korum and ksusus, the pillows and mattresses of the upper sukkah, then the lower sukkah is kosher. And this is based on the idea of what Shmuel said, that the kehechshera kach psula, and if the elyon, if the upper one is not fit for dwelling, well, if you can't put pillows and mattresses, you can't dwell in there, so it doesn't affect the lower one. Michlal, this would lead us to infer the Tanakama Sofar Afalpi She'eno Re'uya Lekabel Psula. Now that's not like Shmuel. What is being said here? The inference is that the Tanakam would say that even if the upper one is not fit for dwelling, the bottom one would be puzzle. But Shmuel said that only a kosher kind of sukkah would ruin the lower sukkah. But if the upper sukkah is not fit for dwelling, it's not a kosher kind of sukkah. So why should it ruin the lower one? And yet we're inferring that the Tanakhama would be telling you that even if the upper one was not fit for dwelling, it still would ruin the lower sukkah. That is against Shmuel. The Gemara answers, Ika binayhu, diyachoylo lekabel al yedei hadchak. Let us look in Rashi to appreciate this response. Rashi is in the middle of the wide lines under the Gemara. Umeshani iko binayu the Rabbonon Savri. The Rabbonon hold, Kevon diyachoylo lekabel bedochak, since the upper one can support the mattresses with just barely. Dochak would mean just barely, but it can, but just barely support them. Shein sukkah al yoinu mifsula tachtona. There is the sukkah category assigned to the upper one, and hence it's considered a sukkah and ruins the lower one. Rav Yehuda Sofar, kevon deleko tashmisha lehedya, since it cannot be used easily, lav shame sukkah alo de elyona. The upper one does not have a shame sukkah. So, as far as Shitas Shmuel is concerned, there is a his opinion of being roi ledira, and only then is the lower sukkah rendered unfit. That everyone agrees with. Everyone agrees that if the upper one is fit for dwelling, but now what does that mean to be fit for dwelling? That is a machlokes tanoim. So you have tanoim arguing around about a fine point, but it doesn't clash with Shmuel. Shmuel's point is that if the upper one is fit for dwelling, the lower one is not kosher. Now, what does that mean to be fit for dwelling? We're being a little repetitive now. According to the Tanakamo, if it's just barely fit for dwelling, so that will ruin the lower sukkah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, under such circumstances, the lower one isn't ruined. But if it can be used easily, then and only then would the lower one be ruined. But the point is that Shmuel's theme is something preserved by the Tanoim. We continue in the with the new Mishnah. The Mishnah describes a sukkah that's covered with, we'll say, non-schach material. What effect does that have? The Mishnah. Pires olel sadin, a sheet, was placed over a sukkah mitnei hachama in order to block the sun, because there was a very intense sun, so someone spread a sheet over his sukkah. Oh, tachtel mitnei hanashar, or the sheet was spread out under the schach, because the schach had leaves that were nishar is falling off into your food, making it very unpleasant to remain there. Now it should be noted, and Rashi tells you that a sheet itself is something that's mekabel tuma. It's a vessel, it has the status of a vessel, something that can receive tuma, and hence it is something that is disqualified as serving as a sukkah covering. The rules that govern sukkah covering include that it must be a substance that grows, that originates from the ground, and it also must be something that is not mekabel tuma. So a sheet in and of itself is something that's not acceptable as schach. In the Mishnah, we have someone spreading out a sheet either above the schach or underneath the schach to catch the fallings. We continue, Oy Shapires Al Gabi Hakinof, or, and here we have illustration 164, he spread a sheet over a four-pole canopy bed. Kinof are four poles that are illustrated in 163, and that's covered with a sheet. That's what's being described right now in the Mishnah. He covered a bed and then dwelled, or he slept in the sukkah under such a covering. Psula. These are examples of something that renders his sukkah performance unfit. Someone who dwells, or who sleeps, or you know, spends time in a sukkah in a 164 in a bed under such an under a canopy bed that has a flat roof, the kinof arrangement, he's not said to be in the sukkah. He's in a bed, and not in. He's not considered covered by the sukkah. Person has to be covered, we'll say, immediately overhead by the sukkah, and not by some other kind of roof covering. Aval, the Mishnah goes on, Aval Pores Hu Al Gabi Naklite Hamita. Illustration 165. We see a canopy bed, but it's a singular pole at each end of the bed with a crossbar. So if you have a singular pole at each end of the bed with a crossbar, and then draping over that a canopy, you'll have a canopy bed, but there's no flat roof to it. A roof is defined as a flat covering measuring a tefach across, a tefach in width. Here comes to a point. Hence, it's not called a roof, and therefore, it's not considered. You're not considered as if you are covered by a roof other than the schachs. As far as we're concerned, you're still considered under the sukkah, not under a foreign roof. The Gemara. Omar Rav Chista, Loi Shonu Elo Mipnei Hanishar. The Mishnah is teaching that the sheet ruins the sukkah, ruins your sukkah performance, is only when it was spread out to catch the nishar, the falling leaves or pine needles or whatever, depending on what kind of branches you use for covering your schach. If they shed their leaves, so this is the nishar, the fallings. So the psul is only if the sheet were spread out to catch the fallings. Avolina oisok shera. If a person spread out a sheet under the schach, the sheet happened to be decorative, lina osa, to decorate, to beautify the sukkah, that's okay. The Gemara says, do I really need Rav Chista to tell me that? Pshita mitnei hanishar tanan. Rav Chista's point seems to be obvious. The Mishnah told us that the problem of the sheet is only if you spread it out in order to catch the fallings. So the Gemara says, I still do need Rav Chista. I know the Mishnah said mitnei hanishar, but ma'u detemu adin dafilu lina osa. I might have thought that any sheet spreading pasels renders unfit. V'hai dekotoni mitnei hanishar, and that the Mishnah chose to speak about the sheddings or the fallings, urcha demilso katoni, because that's the more common reason for spreading out a sheet. But any sheet spreading under the schach would render it unfit. Komash Malon, Rav Chista tells me that that's not so. That only if it's for protection purposes does the sheet spreading present a problem. However, if the sheet spreading is for decorative purposes, the sukkah and your sukkah performance are kosher. Lema misayele. Notice we have a long question marking because lema is in fact a suggestion. It's a question. Can I say that the following Tanaic source supports Rav Chista? The Gemara, as is almost always the case, when a lema question appears, it will be rejected. The Gemara afterwards will show how this source does not support him. However, first read through, it seems to support him. In this source, There will be emphasis placed on different types of decorative items. We're not going to translate each one of them. We're relying on the fact that you have the Pirush Chai. Picture 167 provides ample description of the different decorations mentioned here, but we do want to focus on one item, and it's dashed, underlined, the word Sedinim, because that's what we're talking, that's what our sugi is focused on. So now let's see the source. Can we say the following supports Rav Chisda? Sichicha kil chisa, you covered your sukkah with proper schach. The itra, bekrumim, itra is to decorate it, bekrumim, uvestinim amatsuyorim, v'tolaboy egoizim shkedim afarsikim v'rimoinim, parchilei anovim v'atros shel shibolim, yenos shmonim v'siltos. All different kinds of decorative items. Also, listapik mehen, you cannot draw from them. You know, as you covered your sukkah with bottles of wine or oil or flour, all kinds of things, you cannot use them for any purposes. Ad motzoi, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, ad motzoi yom tov v'achron shel chag, until the end of the last day of Sukkot, which we call the end of Shemini Atzeres, or if you're in outside of Eretz Yisrael, you would say at the end of Simchas Torah. V'im hisno alem akol lufi tano. If you made a condition, and before you, before the Sukkot holiday set in, you declared that I am not removing myself from these decorative items. In other words, you expressed your intent to use them. And you expressed this before the holiday set in, so the sanctity associated with things attached to the sukkah doesn't set upon them, because you made a stated condition or stated clause whereby you remained attached to them and not separating yourself from them throughout the holiday. What do we see though in this whole source? We said, at the end we said, if you made a condition, then everything follows the t'nai that he made. But we see in this source, a person decorated his sukkah with sheets. And it's a kosher sukkah. What did Rav Chisda say? That if you spread a sheet out under the schach for decorative purposes, it's okay, it's kosher. So here we have a source that supports him. The Gemara says, no, the source doesn't support him. Dilma min hatzad. The sheets described in this source of containing decorations was a sheet that was set up along the one of the walls of the sukkah. But a sheet spread out up across the top of the sukkah, underneath the schach, even if it were decorative, it would not be acceptable. You know, so at this point then we have Rav Chisda saying his din, but to seek support for his din from this Tanaic source, that we do not have. And if you accept this, we'll call the Dechiyo, Dilma Min Atzad, so then Rav Chisda's scenario would actually be a Pasul Sukkah. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading and structural note. A diamond will appear in the Gemara, and it's introduced here. Noi sukkah, sukkah decorations, hashpasim al midos sukkah, begova and minatzad. The effect that they can have on sukkah height and sukkah width. Itmar noi sukkah ein mimatin besukkah. Sukkah decorations do not reduce. Now, when we say do not reduce, that has different applications. If, let's say, you have a too tall sukkah, the schach is more than 20 amas from the ground. And then you have some decorative items that are suspended decorative items that are suspended, and they reach a height of within 20 tfachim of the ground. So we do not say that they are memayit, that they reduce the height to make it kosher. Very simply, because they are not what's called min schach. They're decorations. They're not items that serve as kosher schach. So since they don't serve as kosher schach, they also cannot reduce the height of the sukkah. Now, on the other hand, They also are not mimayit besukkah. Let's say you have a minimum height sukkah. Your schach is 10 tvachim above the ground. And you've got decorations that are suspended from this very short sukkah. The decorations are within 10 tvachim of the ground. They do not render the sukkah unfit. The sukkah remains kosher. Omar Rav Ashi, Omin Hatzad Min Ma'atin. However, let us say you have a sukkah that is a minimum area of 7 by 7 hand breadths. Such a sukkah basically will hold your Rosho, Rubo, Vishulchano, as Rashi says. And then you have decorations that are placed along the wall. And since we were starting off with a 7x7 tefach area, decorations that are attached to the wall that protrude from the wall will reduce the area available for your use in the sukkah. That represents a problem. In other words, that does pasal. Continuing in the Gemara with a little story. Minyamin Avde de Rav Ashi. Minyamin is a name of the servant of Rav Ashi. It misha le ketunta b'maya. It misha means became wet, became soaky, is soaking wet. Ketunta is an article of clothing, a ksoines, so that his shirt became wet, b'maya, in water. V'ishtatcho a mitalalosa. Ishtatcho, word l'shtoach, shetach means to be spread out. On mitalalosa, on the sukkah. So he took his wet shirt and spread it over the schach of the sukkah. Amalei Ravashi. Ravashi says, Dalye, remove it. Delo lemru, people shouldn't say, Komisachi b'dovra mekabel tumah, that Ravashi is covering his sukkah with something unfit for schach, something that is capable of absorbing tumah, namely a shirt. A shirt is a type of, it's called a kli, a vessel, and as such, it's mekabel tumah, and that would be unfit to use as schach material. So people walking by are going to see my sukkah covered with a shirt. Response Ravashi's instruction was v'halka chazulei deretiva. There's no problem. People aren't going to think that Ravashi has his sukkah covered with something pusle. They'll see that the shirt is sopping wet and it was put up there simply to dry. So people aren't going to get the wrong impression. So what was bothering Ravashi? Response: l'chi yavsho ku amino loch. Ravashi was telling his servant Minyamin, take it off after it gets dry. Once it gets dry, and it's no longer obvious why it was put up there, and people then could get the impression that I'm using shirts to serve as my schach, so make sure you take it off at that point so that people don't get the wrong idea. Itmar, noi sukkah hamuflogin mimeno arba'o. Rashi explains, we're talking about sheets that are spread under the schach for decorative purposes. However, the gap between the sheets and the actual schach is 4 tvachim. So the sheets are drooping down 4 tvachim. That's the situation being described. Rav Nachman Amar Ksheira of Chistuv Rabo Baravuno Amri Psula. You have a machlokes amoroyim, whether this is a problematic situation. It's interesting to note that when we were learning the sugya before, at the end of Yud, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, Rav Chisto, he didn't speak about dimensions or say distances. He simply said that sheets spread out under the schach for decorative purposes is kosher. Here, within that, now that, by the way, the speaker there was Rav Chisto, so it's interesting to note that regarding that issue, Rav Chisto takes a stand, and he says that if the gap is more than 4 tvachim, or is 4 tvachim, that will render it pusel. And the problem is that you have the shear, by the way, this shear, this dimension of 4 tvachim is something we saw on Omer Aleph regarding the sukkah tachas sukkah. It's a significant area. Now, the Rashi points out psula. Rashi says mishum oihel mafsik v'shtakach delogoni besuka. And it's so interesting to think that Rashi uses the word oihel. We saw in the previous sugya oihel being associated with one tefach, but here you see there's some flexibility that oihel can apply in this case, and with a shear of four tefachim, based on possibly the idea that was mentioned before, that's considered a mokum choshuv. We continue in the Gemara. Rav Chisto v'rabo bar Rav Huna Iklu lebe reish gulusa. They traveled, they went, they arrived at the home of the exilarch. Agninu Rav Nachmon besuka. Rav Nachmon gave them a place to sleep. Agninu gona, it means to sleep. So he gave them a place to sleep, and it was Rav Nachmon. The names in this incident are very important to keep track of the names. Rav Nachmon, who by the way was the lenient opinion, he gave to them, who represented the more restrictive opinion, he gave them a place to sleep. Besuka shenoyaha muflogin mimena arba tfochim. Rav Nachmon put them in a sukkah that had sheets spread out under the schach with a gap of four tefachim. In other words, it was a kind of sukkah that was to Rav Nachmon's liking, but you would think not to their liking. Ishtiku velo amru le velo midi. They remained silent. They didn't say anything. Omar lehu. So Rav Nachmon, seeing this, says to them, "Hoderbu rabbonon mishmatayu? Have you reversed? Have you backed out of your original teaching that a four tefach gap between tzchach and decorative sheets spread out under them is unfit? Here you are sleeping in such a sukkah, gap of four tefachim, and doesn't seem to bother you." And of course, Rav Nachmon would be very pleased if they backed out and would end up agreeing with him. So they said to him, "Sorry, we don't have good news for you. Amru le anan shluchei mitzvah anan ufturin min hasuka. We are on a mission of mitzvah performance, and people who are on a mission of mitzvah performance on the holiday of Sukkot are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. So the fact that we're sleeping in something that's, as far as we're concerned, not a kosher sukkah, we're allowed to be here. But if we weren't on a mitzvah mission, we would not sit in such a sukkah." Now, what was the mitzvah mission that they were on? So Rashi points out, "Shluchei mitzvah anan lahakpil pnei rosh gola." We are coming to meet the exilarch. "Dechayev odom lahakpil pnei rabo beregel." It's a mitzvah for one to receive his master on the holiday, and the Rosh Gola was considered a master of everybody, and they are therefore exempt. And the Gemara later in this Masichta will deal with the sources for that point, that Shluchei Mitzvah Pturim Min Hasukkah. We continue in the Gemara with a new topic heading, the Nosei. On the side you can see we call this kila. Kila is a canopy. A canopy most often associated with a canopy bed. And we also note that this sugya lasts till the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. So we have a rather long sugya ahead of us. Continuing down, halfway down, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Under the Mivneh note, the structural note, you see Roman numerals 1 and 2 are featured, and 1 appears here, and the 2 is on Daf Yud Aleph Omed Aleph. They represent Shnei Lishonis Bedivrei Rabbi Yudomar Shmuel Behatiro Shino Bekila Basuka. Shmuel allows sleeping in a kila. Kila, again, very loosely, or let's say very generally translated, because there are details. We have two Lashonos in the Gemara, but it's the idea of sleeping under a canopy or in a canopy bed. There'll be two Lashonos. Before we get into the Gemara, we often in Gemara markings like people to get the feeling of an overview, bird's eye view of the sukkah. So Roman numeral number 1, you see Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel saying Mutter Lishon Bekila Besukkah. It's Mutter to sleep in a Kila Afa Pishiyesh Lo Gag. even though a kilo is a flat roof canopy, canopy bed, that we saw already illustrated, 164. Roman numeral number 2, second line from the top of Yud Aleph from an Aleph, says Lishon Achrino Amri Law, Amar of Yud Amar Shmuel, Mutar Lishon Bekilas Chasanim. Illustration 166, the angular type covering, as opposed to a flat roof covering. Those of you who are familiar with a pup tent, so maybe that's an image that will help you appreciate this more. He says it's mutter to sleep in that kind of canopy bed, lefi she'ein lo gag, because it doesn't have a flat roof. And that second lashon then is in stark contrast to the first lashon, the first version, where he was allowing sleeping in a regular canopy bed, regular meaning flat roof canopy bed, allowing that which we saw illustrated in 164. Version number 2, the second line from the top of Yud Aleph and Aleph, would not allow sleeping in the 164 illustration, because there you see a flat roof canopy, allowing you only in a 166 illustration. The Gemara here will then be marked with triangles a few lines later, and they are challenges, they're questions on that which Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel teaches. The triangle system of marking will continue on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph as well, with the questions posed on the second Lashon. So now the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Mutar Lishon Bekilo B'Sukkah, it's mutter to sleep in a canopy bed, Afal Pi Sheyesh Lo Gag, even though it has a flat roof to it. For Hu She'eino Gvoa Asor, provided it's the canopy is not 10 tefachim, it should be less than 10 tefachim from the surface of the bed. The Rashi Kila Haprusos Svivos Hamita, that's spread out around the bed, the Afal Pi Sheyesh Lo Gag, She'ein Gago Meshupo Kishel Naklitin, it's not a Naklitin, a 165 arrangement. It's not like that. Elo shove, but rather it's flat. It's even. Kishel kinofos, like the kinofos arrangement that we saw in 163. So we're giving. There's a leniency here that we're allowing you to sleep in this, but it must be that the canopy is within 10 tefachim of the bed. Being that it's less than 10 tefachim, so it's not considered an ohel. Again, this is the third time we're seeing the term ohel. Originally, we saw it in the context of one tefach, we saw it in the context of four tefachim, and now we're seeing it in the context of 10 tefachim. Continuing in the Gemara, Toshma. And we indicated four series of questions. Hayoshin Bekila Besuka Lo Yotzi Yedei Chavaso. Someone who sleeps under a canopy bed does not fulfill his obligation. Question on Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel. Answer, Hocha B'Mayaskinon. The source that says he's not Yotze doesn't fulfill. Kishigavoa Asar. That's because it was 10 Tfachim above the bed. And Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel and his leniency was only if it's less than 10 Tfachim. New question. Meisvei Hayoshin Tachas Hamito Besuka Lo Yotze Yedei Chavaso. If someone sleeps under a bed in a sukkah, he does not fulfill his requirement, because he's not covered by schach, he's covered by the bed. So too, over here, he's not covered by schach, he's covered by a canopy. The Gemara answers, Hotirgumah Shmuel, he is the one that is being questioned right now, so he already explained, Tirgumos, to explain the source of Yoshin Tachas Amito, Bamito Gavo Asora. It's a bed whose position has a height of 10 tefachim off the ground. So you're sleeping under a bed where from the ground to the bottom of the bed is a gap of 10 tefachim. That's the problem. Shmuel never said that would be okay. He spoke about less than 10 tefachim. Ta Shma. We have another source that says Osha Pires, and this is a quote from our Mishnah that said Osha Pires al Gabi Kinofos Psula. Person who spread a sheet over Kinofos, and we know Kinofos, we saw this illustrated in 163, creating a bed that looks like 164. Such a situation is unfit Psula. The Gemara answers Hasanami Digvia Sora. In the case of the Kinofos, it also was 10 tfachim over the bed. That's the problem, and that's not what Shmuel was ever allowing in the first place. Question. V'halo katani hachi. But it's not taught thusly in the following brisa. Note, of course, this is a long question. Desanya. Naklitin shnayim. Kinofos arba. Naklitin, we illustrated this. This was 165. Two poles, one at either end of the bed. Kinofos, that was, we saw, was 163. Arba, four poles, one at each corner of the bed. Pires al gabi kinofos psula. A person spread a sheet over the four pole arrangement. That is it's unfit to dwell in it. Al gabi naklitin kshera, but spread over a two-pole arrangement, creating the pup tent image or form, that's okay. And when is it okay? But it's qualified. Uvavad shiloyu naklitin gavoyen ben amita asora. Provided the naklitin, which is the more lenient realm, but in this more lenient realm of naklitin, they must be less than 10 tfachim. In other words, the canopy, the top of the canopy, must be within 10 tfachim of the bed. So we would then infer michlal that the kinofos, the kinofos which we said are psula, afal pi shein gavon asara, they would be puzzle even if they're less than 10. Just like the naklitin, which are kosher, they have to be less than 10. Only if they're less than 10 will they be kosher. The kinofos, which are puzzle under those same circumstances, less than 10. This is a problem for Shmuel. The Gemara answers, shiny kinofos. Kinofos are different than kila. De kvii. Kvi means they are fixed. They are fastened in firmly as opposed to the kila. Rashi across from here says, de kvi avo kila lo kvi abechoska ke kinofos. The kila canopy poles are not fastened in firmly as the kinofos are. Hilkoch ki lo gavoa asora lo chashiv. Therefore, if you have, say, loosely attached canopy poles, which creates a canopy of less than 10 tfachim, that's okay. It's not chashiv. It's not considered a separate area of significance. Question: Vare suka al gabi suka de kviya. The case of suka, a suka under a suka, where that is kavua, the Omar Shmuel, and Shmuel said kehech shero kach psula. The just like ten tfachim is something that is kosher, so too, if a sukkah is found underneath a 10 tfachim entity, that will render the lower one unfit. So, when is something unfit? When is something that is kavua? When is it capable of rendering something unfit according to Shmuel? Only if it's 10 tfachim. But that's not what we just said in the source above. We said that something, we said kinofos, less than 10 tfachim, render it unfit. Shmuel, here, in the case of sukkah agabi sukkah, is saying that something that is kavua is capable of rendering unfit only if it's a full 10 tfachim, not less than 10 tfachim. So the Gemara answers, Amri. There's a point of contrast. Hosam de la Mifsal Sukkah. In the case of Sukkah al Gabi Sukkah, where we had a, let's say, an existing kosher sukkah on the bottom, and our goal there was to render something kosher unfit. Hasam, the lamifsal sukkah, where you're coming to undo something that's a kosher sukkah, ba'asora, only if you've got 10 will you be able to undo something that is kosher, to ruin something that's kosher. Hacha, but in the case of, in our case, the leshavya oyala, where the issue is the case of the kila, where we're trying to determine or tell someone don't sleep there, the leshavya oyala, to make something into an ohel, into a separate entity. Bosir me asora nami have oil, even less than 10 tefachim, if it's something that is kavua, could be considered a separate ohel. So, in just to review this in simplistic terms, we're coming to undo something that has a kosher status. You can't undo something unless you've got a full 10 tefachim. However, where we are trying to identify something as a separate ohel, I'm not coming to undo some existing structure. I'm simply trying to define that which is contained within the current sukkah. Is it, the bed, is it a separate entity or not? Well, it can be considered a separate entity, even at less than 10 tefachim, if it's considered, if it is kavua, as is the case in the kinofos. So after all said and done, what we've done in this sukkia is we had Shmuel's din that it's mutter to sleep in a sukkah while you're under a canopy bed, a flat-roofed, four-poled canopy bed, provided it is less than 10 tefachim. That halacha remains intact after going through all of the questions in the sukkia. As you can see, we have a bracketed section, and on the side of the Gemara under the Noseh heading, we say the Noseh Betocha Sograyim. The Gemara is going to talk about something that's seemingly unrelated. Hayoshin Oroim Ve'amiras Kriyashma. Someone who is planning to go to sleep unclothed, and the issue comes up of reciting Kriyashma in a situation like that. Of course, in simple terms, it is quite forbidden to recite Kriyat Shema while stark naked. But if one can create a separation between the upper part of his body and the lower part of his body, so then he is allowed to say Kriyat Shema. And that will be the discussion within the brackets. We have a bracket note by the star in the other margin. Achreya Sograim, after the brackets, the Gemara Choseres Linin Kila V'Sukkah. The Gemara will go back. We'll return to the topic of canopy beds in a sukkah. B'soichem, within the brackets, Muvah Alochas Hakshuras Liyoshin Oroim V'Amiras Kriyashma. Halochas concerning sleeping unclothed and the recitation of Kriyashma. Now we. That having been said, and our awareness that the Gemara will be returning to the issue of canopy beds on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, we can now go through the bracketed section straight off. Omar Rav Tachlifa Bar Avimi Omar Shmuel Hayoshein Bekila Orum. And it might be noteworthy, even though we're not going to be highlighting this with markings, but Shmuel is the featured speaker here, as he was the daya that we were focusing on till now. So Shmuel says, one who sleeps in a kila, oroim, he's sleeping in a canopy bed, and he's unclothed, motzi rosho chutz lekila v'kore kriyashma. He sticks his head outside from under the canopy, meaning his head is not covered by the canopy. The rest of his body is still in the canopy. The Kore Kriyashma, he can recite Kriyashma that way. He's created a situation of separation of the lower part of his body, which it does that needs not be elaborated on how that is not conducive in the sense of holiness to Kriya Shema, but creating this kind of separation, head, outside canopy, rest of body, in canopy, we have a sufficiently modest and sanctified situation, situation of sanctity conducive to Kriya Shema recitation. We continue with a question, Meisvei. We have a Tanaic source that seems to present the problem. Hayoshen bekila oroim, one who is sleeping unclothed in a kila, lo yotzi rosho chutz lekila v'yikro kriya shma, he shall not stick his head out and rely on that as being sufficient for kriya shma recitation. The Gemara answers, there's no problem. Hocha b'mai askinon, the source that says it's prohibited, kishigavo asora, the canopy bed there is 10 tfochim. The canopy is 10 tfochim above the bed. Let us look in the Rashi. Dibor Masa Vekore Kriyashma. Right across from here. Vekore Kriyashma. The Kevon Delav Oyelhu. Lo Amrinon Lemokoim Sherubo Shom Roishoi Nizrak Velitzar. Mishum lo yere lecha ba lo yere b'cha ervas davar el arei kemotzi rosho chutz lechaluko. If your head is outside a canopy that is less than 10 tefachim, so the canopy is not viewed as an ohel. It's not viewed as an ohel. Let's say as your house. Imagine someone were naked and stuck his head out the window of a house. There, according to what we're seeing right now, we would say, well, the head is considered where the body is. However, with a canopy less than 10 tefachim, it's no different than someone, let's say, wearing a bathrobe, where he comes out of the shower wearing a bathrobe. So he's not wearing anything else, but his head is sticking out from the bathrobe, and the rest of the body, his body is covered in the bathrobe. That's what Rashi was referring to when he says that it's like motzi rosho chutz lechaluko, and that would be okay for Kriya Shema recitation. So to a canopy less than 10 tefachim is like wearing a bathrobe. A canopy bed of 10 tefachim or more is already something else. And then, as Rashi said, the head would be considered where the body is, and hence sticking the head out of such a canopy of 10 tefachim would not be sufficient. The Gemara continues, Hochi nami mistabro midekotoni seifa. The explanation we just gave of the kila prohibition as a result of 10 tefachim is likely. As it says in the seifa, the continuation of the source, it says, Holamaze doime, what is the kila case reminiscent of? La'oime b'bayis orum, like someone standing naked in his house. Shelo yotzi rosho chutz lechalon v'yikro kriya shma, that he shouldn't stick his head out the window and recite kriya shma. Shma nina. So this shows that the kila source, the Tanaic source that restricted the recitation of kriya shma, was talking about a kila of 10 tefachim, similar to the case of a house. A house, of course, is something that has at least 10 tefachim to it. The Gemara continues, Ubayis nami. However, this is a qualification. When it comes to a house, afal pi she'ein gavoa sora, a house, even if it's lacking 10 tefachim, that's very, a house maybe that's suffering from ground settling, where the walls and ceiling settle into the ground, and become, you can have a situation where there's very little space between the floor and the ceiling. It's within 10 tefachim, the ceiling's within 10 tefachim of the floor. If you're dealing with a house, a permanent type structure, as opposed to a bed and canopy, then afal pi she'ein gavoa asara, even if it's less than 10 tefachim, kivan de kaviyah, since it's something that's of a fixed nature, permanent nature, as opposed to a canopy bed, oyolahu, it is considered an ohel, de lo gora mi kinofos, it is no less in significance than kinofos. And regarding kinofos, we saw before, and if you like, you can use a little arrow to the left-hand side of the Gemara text to help you find back on Yud Amid Beis what we are referring to, where we said that the kinofos, being that they were kavua, even less than 10 tfachim, presented a problem. In that case, it was a problem of being in an oyel other than the sukkah. Now, as we mentioned, we now start the second lashon concerning canopy beds. Lishno achrino amri lo omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Another version concerning what did Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel say? Mutter lishon bekilas chasanim besukkah. It's mutter to sleep in a kilas chasanim, and that was illustration 166, the pup tent style bed canopy. Lefi she'ein lo gag, because it doesn't have a flat roof. It has a sloping covering. Afal pi shegavoa asora, even though it has a height of 10 tefachim. The triangles are, like we saw before, challenges to Shmuel's teaching. Meisvei hayoshein bekilo besukah lo yotzi yedei chovaso. One who sleeps in a canopy bed does not fulfill his mitzvah of sukkah. Problem for Shmuel. The Gemara says, Hocha b'mayaskinon, the source that says kilo is unfit, is b'shiyesh lo gag. That's a flat roof canopy bed. And, of course, Shmuel was, in his leniency, was not talking about a flat roof canopy bed. Ta shma. And we quote again this source. We saw this on the previous Omid. Naklitin shnayim, kinofos arba'ah. Pirei salgabi kinofos psula, spread over a four-poled canopy bed. It's unfit to sleep in that while in a sukkah. Al gabi naklitin kshera, the two-poled bed is okay. Uvavashule naklitin gvoin min amito asoro tvochim. And even in the case of the naklitin, which is reason for leniency, it's okay provided it is not 10 tvochim. But if it's 10 tfachim above the bed, even without a flat roof, it's possible. That is against Shmuel. Shiny naklitin dekvi. The poles in a naklitin bed canopy are permanent, as opposed to kilas chasanim. They are loosely attached. Shmuel spoke about kilas chasanim and not naklitin, even though, say, physically they appear the same. However, naklitin are permanently firmly attached, whereas the kilas chasanim not so. Question: E kavi leheve kinofos? If naklitin, as featured in this source, are kavua, so then they should be like kinofos, and it should be possible even less than 10 tfachim. Why in the source does it say naklitim if it's less than 10 tfachim or kosher? The Gemara says everything is relative. Legabi kinofos lo kavi. The naklitim are not as permanent as kinofos. So kinofos, being that they are extremely permanent, they present a problem even less than 10 tfachim. Naklitin, which are less permanent, less than 10 tfachim, they don't present a problem. Legabi kila kavi, however, the naklitin relative to the kila are considered permanent. Therefore, naklitin that do have 10 tfachim of height to them are unfit. But kila, even if it has a height of 10 tfachim, because it's not kavua, it's not permanent, it's allowed. Dorash Rabo ba Rav Huna Mutter Lishan Bekila. He ruled that it's allowed, one is allowed to sleep in a kila. And 2 points. Afal pi shiyesh lo gag, even if it's flat roofed. Afal pi shegavoa sora, even if it is 10 tfachim high. Wow, that's new. We didn't see anything like this till now. Someone allowing flat roof plus 10 tfachim of height. Come on, who is this like? Answer: Kerebi Yehuda. This is in accordance with a new shita that we haven't seen till now. Shitas Rabbi Yehuda Amar lo osi oyel aroy umavatel oyel keva. A temporary type of ohel, an enclosure, cannot mavatel an oyel keva, a more permanent type structure. So let's read on another line in the Gemara. Disnan, as it says in the following Tanaic source, Om Rav Yehuda, Noya Gim Hoyinu Lishon Tachas Hamito Bifnei Hazakenim. Rav Yehuda says, we would sleep under beds in a sukkah in the presence of the sages. Now, relative to a sukkah, the mita, the bed, is considered an oyel aroy. And as Rav Yehuda says, an oyel aroy, a temporary type enclosure or covering, is not capable of neutralizing, moving the vatel, of neutralizing the greater structure, the sukkah, which relative to the bed, it would be an oyel keva. The Gemara asks, V'leimo alocha k'Rebbe Yehuda. Why didn't Rabba bar Rav Huna simply say, I rule like Rav Yehuda? If Rabba bar Rav Huna is telling me what he says, and the Gemara says it's based on Rav Yehuda, so simply speak in shorter, in a more terse fashion, I rule like Rav Yehuda. The Gemara answers, E Omar halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. If he would have said that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and again, Rabbi Yehuda is featured in the story of sleeping under the bed, I would not have known the halacha that Rabba bar Rav Huna himself actually said. If I would have ruled simply halacha Rabbi Yehuda have amino, I would have thought, hani mili mita. When is something mutter? When is it mutter to be under something else? That's if what you are under a bed. The legabo asuy, a bed is really made for the use of its surface. So it doesn't have the shame ohel. It's not considered a covering. A bed is, its bed's primary purpose is for being on top of it, not to be covered by the bed, by being under the bed. So with this approach in mind, the bed is not even an oyel aroy. Avo kilo de lo soichasuya, a kilo which is designed to be within it, to be under the canopy. So it takes on the name, takes under the category of oyel aroy. So aim or low, I would have thought that would not be kosher. You cannot be at the same time in a sukkah and expect to fulfill sukkah while you're contained within another substructure. Komash malon taimo de Rav Yehuda. Rabba bar Rav Huna therefore had to spell out the depth, the understanding behind Rav Yehuda's shita. What's Rav Yehuda's shita? Komash malon taimo de Rav Yehuda that dolosi oyla royim avatel lo keva. That the same principle does apply to bed as well as the kila. That the bed is to be viewed as an oyel aroy, and an oyel aroy is not capable of neutralizing the greater oyel keva, in this case, the sukkah. And hence, loshno, we're reading again, loshno mita, no difference whether you're under a bed, loshno kila, or you're under a canopy. Since the bed and the canopy are categorized as an oyel aroy, it does not neutralize the mitzvah effects of being within the sukkah. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.